Morning, church, and Merry Christmas. How is that peace factor going that we talked about last week? Oh, feels very peaceful. Not much response there. Hopefully, if you're with us last week, we really focused on peace and what does that really mean, and the Prince of Peace, and how does that affect us, and so hopefully you were able to get to some of those peaceful shalom places, as we put it, that sense of well-being. Last night, I don't know if you guys were down there, but Dana Point launched their Happy Harbor holiday, you know what I'm talking about, lights everywhere, boat parades. Anybody down there? A few of you, okay. Seemed like the state of California was down there, so I thought we'd have a higher hit ratio here, but that's okay. It's fun, you know, when you go down there and, you know, there's lights everywhere and the boats and everybody's rah, honk, rah, rah, and there's music and everybody's doing the pictures underneath the Kiss Me mistletoe thing, and especially the kids. I mean, the kids are having a blast, and, you know, you see the little kids and they're just, oh, mommy, look at the lights, and then they run under the whale, you know, the whale, well, you don't know, you weren't there, but there's a whale that's all lit, and the kids run in it and take their pictures, and so we were down there last night with the grandkids, and I don't know, for me, it was just made me think, like, wow, I remember when Christmas was super magical as a little kid. Yeah, just excited, and, you know, couldn't sleep at night, you know, and before, especially the night before Christmas, and what are you going to get, and just super exciting. Now, as an adult, a little different, and I'm not exactly sure when that change occurs. It could be that when you have to provide the excitement, now you're not as excited, or you have to be the one that provides the joy, then, you know, there's not a whole lot of joy. But I'm reminded when I look at Scripture that this is a joyful season, and it's not just reserved for the kids. But it seems like if we really want to see excitement today, we look at our kids and look at how they interact with Christmas, but from our perspective, it's a little different thing. And I guess the question is, can we have that kid factor? Can we have that excitement at Christmas, or is that just reserved for them? My argument is, we can, and we're going to look at how to explore that this morning. The title of this morning's message is The Kid Factor, How to Enjoy Your 2022 Christmas. So not sure where you're at and your joy factor on that, and whether you're joyful and excited or you're like, you know, breathing deep and getting through it, but hopefully this morning will be an encouragement to you as we actually enter our third week of Advent, and the theme this week is, in fact, joy. Now, we're going to be looking back. All these are familiar passages that we've looked at the last couple of weeks, and will be today and also next week. But just to keep the narrative going, if you were with us last week, Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem because of the census and that whole thing, and you know, having the baby and no room in the inn, and you know that story. But this now, we're going to be introduced to the shepherds in the fields. And so it's along the same timeline, right around the same time frame, within a day or two. And it's we're going to be introduced to these shepherds. Now, they've been portrayed many ways based on nativity scenes and those kind of things, but not a lot of discussion. We like to glamorize the wise men and dress them up and put them under, and of course, baby Jesus and Joseph. Shepherds, kind of like, who are these guys? Well, it's probably, who are these guys, because nobody really talked about these guys. I mean, back in the day, they were a sketchy group. They were kind of the, you know, salty mouth, uneducated. I don't know how else. I can't even think of a employment comparison. I would try, and it would sound, I'd say, like, the longshoreman, and then some of you say, what are you talking about? I'm a longshoreman, and we're going. So I'd be careful on that. But you get what I'm talking about. I mean, they weren't the mafia, but they were not the religious guys. They probably didn't know their Bible real well. They were Jewish, but you get the drift. Okay, we can move on. Okay, good. So we'll pick it up, and in Luke chapter 2, verses 8, we're going to look at 8 through 20 this morning. we see that in the same region of Jesus' birth, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, they're watching the flocks because they're basically, you know, sheep farmers. And, of course, there's predators at night, and so they each one gets a watch. And, you know, whether they're coyotes or wolves or whatever it is, they got to protect them. Somebody would steal them, whatever. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. No one can imagine if that happened to you, you would probably be afraid too. You're hanging out outside, kind of camping, and, you know, you're just watching. You're looking for things on the ground, and something comes from the top, and it's shining, and it's bright, and holy moly, what is this? And like I said, these aren't the most religious guys, so they're freaking out and filled with great fear. So it wasn't just like, whoa, it was like, holy moly, probably starting to run, you know, let's get out of here. Something's going on, an alien, whatever. But the angel of the Lord in verse 10 said to them, fear not. So slow down, stop running. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that there will be for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They knew city of David. Everybody knew that. So they knew it was a reference to Bethlehem. They probably didn't know Savior, what exactly. I mean, we hear when we, you know, went to Sunday school that they talked about a Messiah, but whatever. Super interesting why God would reveal to these guys. But we'll see in a second maybe why. But it's joy. Joy is marking the event. In verse 12, it says that the angel said, and this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough, a manger. So there's the tip-off. Don't be going looking in the houses, in the normal cribs. Feeding trough implies what? Right, some kind of farming expedition, some kind of birthing place, some kind of barn or rock cave, which they are very familiar with because they are sheep farmers. So for them, feeding trough, what? We've never seen a baby in one of our feeding troughs. So suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Know this is a reference to peace, last week's message. Spiritual peace, of course, is what we're talking about, because it was very chaotic for them as young parents. So there's a party going on, basically. Here you got this heavenly celebration because of the birth of Jesus. I would argue this is the picture of the first Christmas party, happening in Shepherd's Field or the field around Bethlehem. And everyone's excited. Everyone's excited. Notice there are no trees decorated. There's no lights. There's no presents. There's no family gatherings. It's just kind of serene, but there's angelic celebration, which we will see even later, falls over into the shepherds as well. But why are they celebrating? Jesus came to save us from our sins. There you go. There's the key. There's the key to enjoying 2022. Number one in your outline, remember you're celebrating the gospel. Remember you're celebrating the gospel. And that's honestly easy to forget, because we celebrate family, we celebrate gift giving, we celebrate gatherings, we have work parties, we celebrate together as employees, employers, we celebrate extended family. It's kind of like that birthday party and, you know, all the celebrations going on, you kind of forgot why you were there. Oh yeah, it's Jim's birthday. But you're talking to everybody else, interacting with everybody else. Sometimes we need that when it comes to Christmas. We're celebrating the gospel. We're celebrating the fact that we are forgiven by God. We're celebrating the fact that you are loved by God, that Jesus sacrificed it all for you. See, that goes beyond boat parades, because the boat parades end. And when the boat parade ends, what happens? The celebration ends. And a lot of things that we celebrate at Christmas are very temporal and very seasonal, and they're fun, but they're super temporal. December 26 becomes our day. Love the tree. But then it'll slowly transition into a fire hazard and you got it out in front of your house for the trash guy to pick up. This is remembering the why. We have a Merry Christmas, a joyful celebration, and we can get focused on the what we're celebrating. In other words, the actual things. And then if they don't work, quite honestly, then there is no joy. And I think that's where we get adults, right? Kids don't have a lot of responsibility, so there's not a lot of temptation to miss being present and being in it. We have the responsibility, and so with that responsibility can come a distraction. That's why Paul said in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, and I would argue even including a busy Christmas week, work heartily, so don't back off, but as for the Lord and not for men. Why? Because men will be temporal. Men will be seasonal. Men will be touch and go, but God won't be. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you go down to that Happy Harbor Day in Dana Point, it looks very festive. I mean, on the surface you go, fun. Because of my perspective. There are other people that are down there that are going to work, that are working in the restaurants, that are sweating in the kitchen. They walk up to the lights and don't go fun, they go, ugh, because of their perspective. You could walk the harbor and walk the boats and see people in the boats. You go, gosh, how fun is that? They got their own boat. Look at them. And they can go out and there's freedom there. Oh, that guy's sleeping on a boat. How cool is that? And look at the lights they put on the boat. How the fun. Our perspective. Boats, fun. You could be a boat owner and go, I'm behind on my slip fees. How am I going to pay them up? I just lost my job. My engine just died. I was going to take everybody out, and now I got to get it overhauled. And when he sees the boats or she sees the boats, it's like, based on what? Perspective. So what we're really talking about here is a perspective clarifier or maybe adjustment, depending on where you're at. If you're going, huh, not really, joy wouldn't be the word I would describe to describe my emotional experience right now, then I would challenge your perspective. I'd say, what are you focused on? Well, I'm focused on this struggle, this struggle, this struggle, this struggle. Yeah, okay. Then, yeah, you're going to be robbed of joy. But let me elevate you beyond the this struggle, this struggle. Let me go beyond that to eternity. That's big, because now, if I'm focused on the Lord, like Colossians 3 says, and what I'm doing and enter into, my perspective is the Lord, then I'm putting up a tree for Jesus. I'm cooking a meal for Jesus. I'm putting lights up in the backyard for Jesus. See, because if I do it for my grandkids, then I'm temporal, because if they come over and I go, hey, kids, look at the lights Grandpa did for you. And they're like, oh, yeah, hey, Jude, you know, and it's just like, oh, last time I'm doing that, those little snot notes, you know, right? You do that whole thing. Why? Because my focus is them. So if you elevate it, whatever your responsibility is can actually be a place of connection with God, because the text says whatever you do. And then it'll even lead to rewards. How cool is that? I was reading in a passage earlier this week. It was in Matthew's gospel. And Jesus was talking about, actually it was the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus was talking about, you know, people hate you for my sake. Consider it joy. And then the text went on into something you skip over, and it said, and leap for joy. I thought, wow, that's wild. I mean, that's like a picture of a kid. When was the last parent you just saw? Right? I mean, that's what kids do. They run everywhere. They run across. Hey, he's coming here. It's like, when do you stop that as an adult? When do you say, no, running's kind of not cool anymore. I'm going to walk. But the excitement that our salvation should have, so much so that if somebody even hates us, our perspective is so locked on, we can leap with joy like a kid. Pretty cool. So it's a perspective. It's all about keeping your why factor in check. Why do you send cards? Why do you host a party? Why do you give gifts? Well, people join the neighborhood, all that. Okay, but go beyond that. And you know what? If they don't like it and they don't respond the way I think they should or would want them to, it doesn't really matter, Lord, because I'm doing it for you. Otherwise, it's super temporal. I was just thinking of my wife, too. My wife, as Susan, she loves to buy gifts for people, so she's a gift giver, loves to give it thought, and loves to wrap gifts. All things that aren't my favorite, but I mean, if you look at our tree and you look at what's below the tree and the gifts, it looks like a movie. It's like, whoa, that's crazy how you wrap that and stack that and did a bow around that. And my version is, where's the tape? Maybe I might need scissors and throw it together and do that. But she does. So with that, though, if your perspective isn't right, there could be a risk. Because Christmas Day, when the kids are taking their gifts and throwing them everywhere, and she's going, I took a half hour to wrap that, and you're not even thanking me or noticing, and you just hold up, who gave me this? You know, that can be discounting. That can be hurtful. And even cause you to go, last time I'm doing that. But if she did it for Jesus, it doesn't really matter. And you say, wrap presents for Jesus? Yeah. What a cool thing that is. Lord, why am I even wrapping this gift? Because it's your birthday. Wow, why did you come? Because you love me. What did you do out of that love? You died for me. And now I have the hope of heaven. Lord, I'm going to wrap this gift for you. Oh, man, how long are you going to take on that? I mean, think about that. I just stumbled on that little weird one. Now I'm feeling super convicted of how I wrap gifts. Maybe I need to up my game. I think I will. You watching, babe? You somewhere in here? All right, just checking. Anyway, so remember you're celebrating the gospel. Let's keep reading. When the angels went away from them, the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste. They went with really fast, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Ah, there's their clue, that feeding trough. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. So they were telling people, they were spreading the news. And look what happened. And all who heard it wondered, literally marveled, at what the shepherds told them, probably because of who they were. If it would have been the high priests and all this, like, yeah, there he goes. But what? These guys? It must be real. This must be something going on. These guys never talk about God. Verse 19 says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She's connecting dots. And here's the key. And the shepherds returned, back to the sheep, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been told them. They were glorifying and praising God. They were filled with joy. They were enjoying it. It was a positive thing, all because they had seen and heard. And it's interesting is they were joining with the angels effectively, glorifying and praising God. This sketchy group is now a worship team. And what else? Well, for all they had heard and seen, so based on their focus of the Messiah. So, but I want you to notice something. The shepherds just didn't watch the angels do it, watch the angels party, watch the angels celebrate. They engaged in it. They participated in it themselves. They joined them, the text says. And they expressed this joy for what they had heard and seen. Number two on your outline, how to enjoy your 2022 Christmas. Be intentional to engage in worship. Be intentional to engage in worship. It's this engagement that makes us a participant. And when we participate, then we sense and experience the joy of the Lord. We're to join with the chorus of the angels, or the shepherds in this case. Express our gratitude. And this time of year is a great time to do it, too. If there's ever an opportunity to engage in worship and wonderful music and wonderful songs, it's now. Now, when I talk about this, there's a couple things that usually take place. Women are motivated, guys aren't. Straight up. We talked about going caroling Wednesday night. Don't say it, but what are you really thinking, guys? Right? There's a couple reactions that can take place. Wife would say, girlfriend, whatever. Well, that sounds fun. What do you think about doing that? And then you can't say what I really think. Let me check the calendar, right? Awkward, embarrassing, for girls, not for guys. And that can happen when we talk about engaging in worship, when we sing songs. Sometimes as guys, we can come in and, not all guys, I don't want, you know, whatever. All of us can come in and go, okay, it's kind of, you know, warm up to the main event. Garnish, you know, pretty, cute, cool, but that's not the goal. Honestly, the worship should be the most powerful part of our morning. Why? Because if we're doing it right, we're not just listening to music, we're engaging with God. Like Shelby shared up here, just take this time to just think about these lyrics, and as they read, they can actually be times of prayer. Because right now, you're not doing that. You're just listening to me. All that to say, worship is not a woman's sport. Because if you look at the book of Psalms, or the Psalters it's called, or the book of songs, because each psalm is a song that Israel used to either say out loud or chant or whatever during services, you'll see that the majority of those are written by King David, who is the dude of dudes. The guy was a warrior. He couldn't even inherit the promised land because blood was on his hands, and yet he's the chief worship leader. He says stuff like this in Psalm 95, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." Notice you don't have to have a good voice. You just got to make a noise. And there it is. So no musical skill necessary. And also, I was thinking about this caroling on Wednesday. I was thinking, yeah, there's something about that, that when you go knock on somebody's door and you sing these songs of exaltation about the birth of Christ or whatever, it always turns into a happy moment, right? If you got friends over, it's like, oh, somebody's, look at the carolers are at the door, come, everybody watches, and then if they keep going, then you start singing, if there's kids, how cute they are. Nobody goes, oh, carolers, hide, close the door, flip the lights off. Nobody does that. So there's something about engaging in it, not just having a perspective about it, but just engaging in it. Hmm. And worship, Christmas can be a great time of year for that. I mean, songs, "O Come All Ye Faithful," "Angels We Have Heard," reminds you of this story. Charles Wesley, oh my gosh, "Veiled in Flesh, the Godhead See, Hailed Incarnate Deity," these deep truths that we read and go, whoa, there's a deep truth. But there's something about engaging in doing it yourself. And so I just want to encourage you, if you maybe just get practical. Maybe like on the way to work, flip on some Christmas music. But don't just flip it on, start singing with it. Nobody cares, you're all alone in your car. It's funny, I just thought of it. So we're on the way home from this Dana Point thing, and the kids are melting down in the back seat. Give me my water. No, you stole mine. You know, there's five of them, and they're all 18 months apart. So it's a collision course of wills. And they're going, and I'm like, okay, this feels like Christmas, right? And so I took my phone, and I got on Spotify, and I hit Christmas music, and I put it on the stereo, and I just cranked it to drown them out. They're complaining. We couldn't even hear it. And you know what happened? Literally within 10 seconds, they're all singing. And it was like, okay, this is my point. Engage in worship. It's more joy, more connectedness. But this is the time of year that, you know, we have this special music. And let me just say this, too. This isn't just a musical statement. John 4, we read this before when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he said, "The hour is coming, is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for Father is seeking such people to worship him." This isn't a statement about singing. This is a statement about devotion. And yes, singing can be a part of worship, but also giving can be a part of worship by the Lord through my tithes and offerings. Serving can be an act of worship that I serve you, Lord, and I'm going to give of my time to care for people. And so there's a lot of different ways. You can even forgive somebody that's wronged you or whatever and let that go and make that a devotion and worship for the Lord. But it's an engagement. That's the key I want you to get from this. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. It's not a sound from a distance. It's engaging your heart in truth and in spirit. And when we get to those places, all the other stuff doesn't matter. And we experience the true joy of the Lord. I don't know if you know the history of one of the classic, this time of year, everybody sings "Joy to the World," right? Isaac Watts' song goes back to like early 1700s. And what's interesting in the story of him writing that song, which started out a poem actually, was the backdrop of the motivation for it. It had none to do with Christmas, by the way. It had to do with a church whose engagement in worship was disconnected. If you went to a church at the time and listened to their time of music, it felt depressing. No one was engaged. It was just mouthing stuff. And probably more Gregorian kind of chants, that kind of thing. And so his father says, "You got to write something that wakes the church up, something that brings life back in." And so he did, 200 years ago. And we're still singing it, and we've adopted it into a Christmas carol, but it wasn't a Christmas carol at all. In fact, when "Joy to the World, the Lord has come," that's not referring to the birth of Christ, that's referring to the second coming. But it worked. It trended well, to use our vernacular, to 200 years later, and we're going to sing it as one of our final songs here this morning. You probably noticed that the pink candle is lit this morning. The other two were lit the prior 2 weeks. This is our celebration of Advent, which, if you're not familiar with that, it's an ancient tradition of the church. It's not in the Bible, but basically it's a preparation time that says 4 weeks before Christmas, let's focus on things about Christmas. Let's focus on the hope of God, week one. Let's focus on the Prince of Peace, week two. Let's focus on the Joy of the Lord, the pink one, week three. Next week, final candle will be love. But those focuses will help get us. And if you don't have an Advent book, by the way, which gives you daily readings, I encourage you to grab one on the way out. They're on the patio, free of charge. Just grab one, and there's still 2 weeks left. And it'll go a long way in helping you. But this morning, we're focusing on joy. And I just our hearts are that those candles represent a light in terms of there's something going on. So as you look at that joy candle, does that light reflect the light of joy in your heart? Does it reflect what you're going through? Yeah, that's true for me. Or no, it's not true for me. Well, it's not true for me, then get back to celebrating the gospel, because that's what we're doing. And when it's time to engage in things that can relate to joy and worship, you're willing to do it. Then I hope and pray that we come back next week and I say, how is your joy? Did you have some joy this week? And it will be yes. And it's not because of things, because those can come and go, but it's because of him. So Lord, we thank you again for another week of preparation before we celebrate your birth, which has so many implications beyond just a baby born in a manger. It's what we worship you every week for, because of being saved and having the hope of heaven. Thank you that you love us so much that you rescued us from eternal separation from you, which is what we all deserve, Lord, because we're never good enough. And so, Lord, as we step even into this week and anticipate the things we have to do or not do and can create some busy things, it's always busy. It's a term that's become the normal in our culture today. But beyond that, Lord, we know even in the busy, we can celebrate and enjoy this Christmas because our focus is on you. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we just sing a couple choruses here as we conclude together, we just really think about our focus this past week. What's causing us to miss the true celebration that the angels celebrated, that the sketchy shepherds celebrated? Not because their world changed. It's not because there was lights in the field. It's because of the touch of you in their heart and knowing what was taking place. So Lord, I pray that as we go into our week, that our Merry Christmas, our joyful celebrations, will be surrounded of the gospel. And Lord, we'd be like the shepherds. We would share that when that opportunity's there. If somebody's stressing out or somebody's really struggling, that we can come alongside them and point them to Jesus. It goes beyond that. So thank you, Lord, for this picture again, this reminder again, and that we can have just this joy that comes from you this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Kind of gonna do this in an a cappella way, and I just encourage you. There's a decision here in terms of joy to the world, you know, or really kind of reflecting on that. And reflect that the words you're singing, if they reflect your heart. And if not, you can make that a quick point of prayer. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Do I have that joy? Lord, help me to hear that joy. Help me to have that joy. You can have that kind of prayer through the chorus. Okay?
Joy to the world. See and heaven and nature. sounding joy, we feed the sounding joy, we feed the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations rule. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Amen, guys. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a good one.